It's the first case in Japan. I didn't take the time to actually check if this had been prosecuted anywhere else. This is something I maybe have to add into my research phase, is when we talk about the first case of something in Japan, that doesn't mean it's the first case of that same thing in the world, but new laws, new prosecutions are always very interesting to me. Police have arrested a woman for riding an electric suitcase on the sidewalk without a license. So I think that's one of those things where you're going to go ahead and assume, like, do you need a license to ride an electric suitcase? If you don't know what that is, it's a suitcase that's electric. It's a suitcase with a small motor in it that powers the wheels. Now, in Japan, they get really strict about things that are vehicles that you can ride. So we've done stories about people getting in trouble for bicycle laws. We've done stories about people riding scooters, electric scooters, and getting arrested for that. And do you need a license for it? It's a bit of a gray zone because licensing doesn't include electric suitcases. But then the counter argument is, does a suitcase need a license? Obviously, in this case, the police think it does. The police have arrested this person for violating the Road Traffic Act, even though they were riding on the sidewalk, so it applies. So if you ride your bicycle on the sidewalk, if you ride your scooter on the sidewalk, the road laws still apply to you, and you might actually be getting in trouble for riding on the sidewalk when very technically you should be riding on the road. I don't think this is one of those things that's actually been written down. That might actually be the main problem. The maximum speed. This was a nice point of issue because, like, is it dangerous? Are you going to hurt somebody? The maximum speed of the electric suitcase was 10 kilometers an hour, or about 10 kilometers an hour. I'm actually betting with the wheels that small on a sidewalk, you couldn't go that fast because I bet every time you hit a crack in the sidewalk, you stop or have to like lift it up. I used to skateboard, and the small wheels meant like any tiny divot you hit were problematic. But I think the actual problem is that this electric suitcase does not meet Japanese safety standards. So this was a tourist who came from overseas and was riding on their suitcase, and this suitcase was not considered safe in Japan. So that's one of those things where it's like, okay, last week I talked about how Japan has these weird rules where if you go to another country, because it was some skateboarders and they went to another country where it was legal for them to drink and they were drinking, and then the coach got in trouble because like you shouldn't be letting them drink because it's not legal in Japan, and they're like, but we're not in Japan. So you can see this like circular argument goes around for a bit. In this case, I think it's a bit more clear cut. You bring something from another country to Japan, it has to meet Japanese safety standards, or you're not shouldn't be allowed to use it. So I think that might be the core issue. But because electric suitcases don't have laws written for them, they're like, oh, well, what are we gonna like ding them on so we can get this thing off the road so it's safe? The tourist, the woman, denies the charge. So she's just saying like, no, I did not violate the Road Traffic Act. She does not consider electric suitcase a vehicle. Now, I thought that was a very interesting defense because the logic she's using is like, I don't think this is a vehicle, therefore I should not be punished under vehicle laws. Except that's not how laws work. Like, if I don't consider something theft, doesn't mean the police are not going to arrest me for it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get prosecuted for it. If I walk into a store and I pick up a PlayStation and I just start walking out of the store and they go like, hey, you're stealing, I go, well, I don't consider this theft. That's not going to be a very solid defense, I think. I mean, I haven't tried it yet. I mean, maybe a more adventurous listener out there might want to out, go out and give it a shot. I don't think this is going to hold up in court, is what I'm saying. I don't consider it a vehicle, therefore I should not get in trouble for riding a vehicle. I feel like there's another joke to be made there. It's a really dumb thing to get in trouble for, riding an electric vehicle. But yeah, if you're going to bring stuff to another country, you got to abide by those countries' rules. This is actually a conversation I've had with Americans who come to Japan. They seem to think the American laws follow them as they understand them. And again, just like me, I don't claim to be a law expert. Most of the laws I've learned about America, for sure, have come from television. And television is not exactly 100% accurate in everything it presents to you. So it's not the best source of your legal information, is maybe what I'm saying. But I did have a conversation with an American talking about Miranda rights, And they seem to be confused as to why they don't read you your Miranda rights in Japan. And I had to explain they don't have Miranda rights in Japan. He's like, well, no, you have to have Miranda rights. I'm like, yes, in America, you have to have Miranda rights. In Japan, they legally can hold you for 20 some days for no reason. And he was like, well, no, that's illegal. I'm like, in America, that might be illegal. In Japan, that's fine. So there are people who travel and they seem to think the laws from back home travel with them. This woman might have thought, ah, my electric suitcase is safe in China, so therefore it's safe everywhere else in the world. That those rules travel with me. But in Japan, maybe much higher safety standard laws for tiny electric suitcase engines. I think they're just not allowed at all. I actually haven't seen any. I'm sure they're around. I don't know how they're classified. So that's actually maybe the issue, is the classification issue. Are they a vehicle? Is it luggage? Is it a toy? Once that's settled, the decision could actually be made as to whether or not she's committed a crime. But they're saying you're riding this on the sidewalk. It's on the sidewalk. Therefore, it falls under the Traffic Act. I think she might be a little screwed. The Japanese Olympic outfits, all these countries now, the Olympics are coming up, they're demonstrating, they're displaying, they're like, here are our new Olympic outfits. And they always look a little like Polo Ralph Lauren for me. These are athletes and I want everything to look kind of sporty. They always come out with like a jacket suit thing. And I'm always like, okay, it looks fine. But it's got to be in your country's colors. Japan is luckily just has red and white, so it's pretty simple, solid color scheme to work with. They've also done their training outfits, and their outfits are going to have a new technology that will block infrared cameras. And this is because of a problem that's occurred in Japan, and it's carried over to the Olympics, and there might be a variety of creepy people at the Olympics. You're never going to get away from the creepy guys. You're never going to get away from the creepy guys. That's just sort of a fact of life. So the new material absorbs infrared light similar to stealth aircraft. So why are they going to such lengths using stealth aircraft technology woven into these athletes' uniforms? Well, it's because what they found is there are these creepy dudes and they get these telephoto lenses with infrared technology. And there's also smartphones that can do it. When I actually read this article, because as I do the articles, I always try to get two or three. One of them actually said, what phone has this capability? And I was like, you are literally advertising the creepy technology to the creepy guys. So I didn't write it down, but I was like mentally going like, well, I'm not going to promote the ability to, but no one who listens to Ninja News Japan is creepy. They've all learned the lessons from this via other people who've made these mistakes. Although we do have a very naive young man coming up at the end. Essentially, with the infrared technology, because of the heat of the body, they can act as x-rays. So what was happening in track and field meets primarily was as the athletes were being athletic, these guys would take pictures and they'd find that it could x-ray through their clothes and they could see their underwear. It didn't really seem to do much else. Or if the clothes were a little loose, you could see the shape of the body. So these guys were taking these pictures, posting them on the internet and putting very sexualized captions underneath. In 2020, the athletes complained. So the last Olympics, the athletes actually complained to the Olympic Committee after finding pics of themselves online with sexual comments underneath and sexual captions. This has primarily come from the volleyball and track and field team. Now, I want to chalk it up to research. I did look at some videos and track and field came up. And it wasn't like any sort of perverted thing that I was looking at. It was just some track and field stuff. The YouTube algorithm immediately started sending me to overtly sexualized versions of track and field things. Like it wasn't people doing track and field. It was track and field athletes walking, pulling their shorts out of their butt, stretching and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, the algorithm isn't helping. But that might be just because there are so many creepy people on the internet. The internet has very much figured out that I'm a dude. So as soon as I look at anything, it immediately tries to like, can I connect this to a sexual version of this and try to get me interested in that? It's one of the reasons I have multiple YouTube channels and I have decided to make each YouTube channel algorithm work for me. So what I actually realized just now is I need to make a algorithm that brings me the creepy news for this. So like when I do research or try to find videos or news articles and things, and it's going to have a creepy element, I should keep that to one algorithm. So the algorithm that I actually want about me, like my actual interests, is separate from that. Cause I have one one of my channels, I've only looked at movie trailers. And so the algorithm now just constantly is pulling movie trailers, so I don't have to search for them anymore. I was like, I should be manipulating the algorithm more. But now actually, yeah, I should also try to protect myself by having a separate algorithm for this slightly creepy news so that maybe it doesn't reflect so badly on me. Cops in Shimane are now officially allowed to wear sunglasses and drink liquids while on duty. So, interesting sort of structure of what happens is it's not like they weren't allowed to wear sunglasses before, and it's not like they weren't allowed to get drinks before, but it was looked down upon. So a lot of police wouldn't do it. The sunglasses, we can separate these into two issues. The sunglasses issue, very much like tattoos in Japan, sunglasses as an image is connected to criminality. So if you have tattoos in Japan, they think you've committed a crime or been to jail or something like that. That's a pretty well-established thing from Japan. A lot of young people are now growing up with tattoos as common. That opinion is slightly changing. Sunglasses are similar. So any sort of Yakuza movie you watch or any sort of Yakuza thing or anything with criminals in it, the criminals will probably be wearing sunglasses. When they make posters and the poster has a criminal on it, there's two versions. There's the old-fashioned one, which is going to have him like constructing a mask out of a handkerchief. And then there's the modern one, which is him wearing sunglasses. So in Japanese culture, sunglasses are just directly connected to criminal behavior. Sunglasses, there's a very other weird thing. This is a society thing or a cultural thing. They think you can only wear sunglasses in the summertime. So I actually wear sunglasses in the winter because, you know, they're very, when there's snow and it's very bright, the sun actually hits the snow and then comes up in your eyes. This is a thing called snow blindness. So it's actually a really good idea to wear sunglasses in the winter. I would wear them in the winter on my way walking to the station or my way into work or something like that. Coworkers would always go, "Why are you wearing sunglasses? It's cold outside." And I'm like, sunglasses aren't designed, or their function is not to protect you or to keep you cool in the summertime. They are to protect your eyes from brightness, which is outside right now because we have a sun and snow, which is actually making the brightness worse. And you could see that they were kind of shaking their heads at me like, weird, dumb, foreign guy wearing his sunglasses in the wintertime. And I was like, okay, I mean, just go blind. I don't care. It's none of my business. But I've actually had that experience directly. The drinks. Now, there was a couple of story we did at Lamy 6 months ago. And the idea was that if you wanted to go get a drink, you had to go to the Koban, which is the little sort of area office. You had to sit down, you had to change your clothes, go buy drinks, and then come back and then change back into your uniform. They didn't want officers in uniform going to convenience stores because they didn't want it to look like the officers were just like slacking off or hanging out. You had to look like you were a good civil servant doing your job. There was a picture, I think it was some American or Canadian cops, and they were out in the summertime. They both have sunglasses on, and they both got like big things of Starbucks, and they're standing talking to some people. And this was a big thing in Japan. Like, is this acceptable? Is this allowed? Why are they able to do this? And they're like, well, these are people, and it's summertime, and they have to be able to see. And it's summertime, and they need to hydrate. So them being able to drink water or juice or something else, like maybe a sports drink, that's really important so they don't get heat stroke and stuff. Sunglasses so they can see. These are actually pretty basic things in other countries in Japan because of these associations. It was frowned upon. What the police did in Shimane is they actually wrote it into the rules that they are allowed to wear sunglasses and they are allowed to go buy drinks. Should anyone actually complain that someone's wearing sunglasses or buying drinks, they can now actually say it's actually in the rule book that this is acceptable. Whereas before it wasn't, and so it was frowned upon, so a lot of cops didn't do it. So this is a shift in culture being supported by the police to make them hopefully more effective. So like, yeah, they're not dehydrated and they can see. Those are two really big elements of being a good cop, I assume. I have no idea. They are introducing new Japanese banknotes. I believe it's tomorrow. This is July 2nd when this episode is being released. July 3rd, I think, is the day the new Japanese, or it's the 7th. Anyway, it's very soon, is this week. New Japanese paper money is being released. They are going to release a new 1,000 yen note, a new 5,000 yen note, and a new 10,000 yen note, which is basically all the money, paper money you use in Japan. They used to have a 2,000 yen note. It didn't last very long. It actually caused a lot of problems. There, an example of a problem this is causing, there's a ramen shop. Now, a lot of ramen shops, you don't actually go up and order. You don't sit down at a table. You go to a machine and you put your money in the machine and then you get a ticket and you sit down and just give your ticket and then they don't actually interact with you very much. For a lot of people, that's actually part of the appeal of the ramen experience, let's say. New money means that these machines will not accept the new money. So we had this with the 500 yen coin was updated. And so it's a different weight. It's a different material. It's a different size, which means if you put it in a machine, the machine won't accept it. It'll just spit it out again. With the money, it's the same thing. So these like ramen shop owners were the first ones to complain. So this is not just exclusively ramen shop. It was just, that was the first story, the first example. And it's a really good example. Like his business relies on this machine that takes money so that he doesn't have to spend his time taking money from people. It actually takes the place of a cash register. So that means he has to replace that machine. And he's complaining that, you know, will the government subsidize him replacing the machine, because it can cost a lot of money to replace machines. If you have a chain of ramen shops, you have to replace the machine in every one of those shops. If you have any other service that just takes machines, I'm trying to think of ones I use. When I go to the judo club, I go to a sports center, I have to put money in the machine. Now I pay 200 yen, so I usually try to bring 200 yen, but it accepts bills. That machine has to be replaced. Or they're just going to put a note on it that says this doesn't accept the new 1,000 yen notes yet. But there's going to be a point where every machine that accepts bills, which is a lot of machines, the biggest one that I can think of is drink machines. Every corner you go to in Japan has a drink machine. Every one of those machines accepts 1,000 yen notes. You can put a 1,000 yen note into every Coke machine you see, every vending machine you see. Every one of those either has to be updated or changed. I don't know how they read it. I don't know if they read security features or they check the material or what. But that's going to be problematic. Haven't heard anything from Coca-Cola or any of these big companies that actually run all these vending machines. So I'm wondering if they just check a security feature on the bill, whereas the ramen shop owner has a different machine that checks it a different way. I don't know about any of that. All I know is that these new bills, introducing new money always causes problems. It's a good thing we're not in England, because the Queen died. They have to update all the money. The King Charles is old. They're going to have to update the money pretty soon. This is not a quiz in the way I've done the other ones. It's not multiple choice.
Okay.
I'm going to give you more of a dilemma.
Oh.
And then see if you can. I kind of want your solution to the dilemma. And then I need you to guess what we can kind of work through what the other person's solution to this dilemma was. So you have a 20-year-old young man. And this is 2024.
Yep. So
understanding the availability of technology, I think, is important to this story. Like, we have the internet, we have cell phones, we have lots of ways to get lots of different kinds of information.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you're ubiquitous at this point.
Yeah, you're pretty comfortable with that. And like, even us as like fathers, older men, let's say, we still can find what we want on the internet. We can, like, if you need information, you can get that information.
Yep. I'm not at the point of my parents where I don't understand the technology around me.
Good. All right. So this young man, 20 years old, I would say a younger person, more attuned to technology and the availability on the internet and whatnot. His desire was to see a naked woman.
Oh.
What do you think he did to achieve this purpose of seeing a naked woman?
On the internet.
I did not say that.
Oh,
you see, my immediate solution, I think your immediate solution and mine would be, if I want to see a naked woman, I would find one on the internet.
Yeah, or like open the shower door and my wife's in it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he has a wife. So he doesn't have that option available to him. So, I mean, well, granted that you do have that option that he does not have. So he can't do the same thing.
And this is a Japanese young man.
This is Ninja News Japan. He's not a ninja, but he is Japanese. He's certainly not a ninja. That might even be a hint.
I have this really, like, just instantly in my head, I'm like, he went into a girl's locker room and tried to hide.
Okay, he went into is correct. A girl's is also correct, but it is not a locker room. That may have been where he got caught.
Toilet.
Is not a toilet.
They wouldn't really be naked in the toilet, would they?
No, he wants a naked lady.
Yeah.
So where are some
Not a
places?
locker room.
Not a
Right.
locker room.
Not a locker room.
I
Not a
believe
toilet.
what happened, because again, the actual story was a tad Spartan. I believe what happened was in the locker area, the changing room area, is where someone may have noticed that this was not a woman. So that's a bunch of little hints in there. You got to use some detective work.
So he was in a locker room area when someone noticed that he wasn't female.
Like a changing room of sorts.
Oh, was it a clothing store?
Oh, no, you've gotten further away. I think locker room is way more accurate.
Why? Where else is there a locker room? At the gym?
Well, you need to see. You're getting closer. So it's a place. Yeah, you got to. Obviously,
Swimming
the
pool.
women are going to be naked. I would actually. Okay, second hint. The
Yeah.
women will be naked for an extended period of time in this place, giving him a better opportunity.
They will be naked for an extended period of time.
Yes.
Where are people naked for an extended period of time?
In Japan.
Oh, it's a hot spring.
It's similar to a hot spring. Let's say you're in the city. So it's not.
Oh, okay, so it's a center.
Yes. Okay. So he decided, he woke up one morning. He's like, I want to see a naked lady. I'm going to go to the female side of the sento. For our listeners who don't know what the word sento means, it is a public bath. It's like a building. They'll have a male side and a female side. It's a public bath where you go and take a bath and you're with other people. So you see naked people. If you are interested in the opposite sex, you would have to get to the other side. How did he get to the other side?
Get to the other side. He just went through the door.
Oh,
Kid
no,
went and
no.
dressed as a woman and went through the door.
There you go. He dressed up as a woman,
Yeah.
went into the woman's locker room, and it was in the woman's locker room where someone went, he's wearing a long wig, like a wig with long hair.
Yeah.
And
But really did like badly.
it seems that way because he was
Yeah.
noticed really quickly. And I saw a picture of the guy. He's not particularly masculine or particularly feminine. So I was like, if he put some work into it, he could have gotten away with it for a while.
Yeah.
But he was caught not immediately, but very quickly. Someone realized like this is not a woman in the changing room for the sento.
Good
So he
God.
was he, they called the authorities. They showed up pretty quickly. He was arrested, and they said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "I wanted to see a naked woman."
Like
And
a real flesh and blood, like
I
not
guess
online.
the internet
Yeah.
just wasn't doing it for him anymore. Yeah, like he just. I don't want to encourage this, but don't do that. You could go to a
Yeah.
show. You could, like,
No, there's so many things. Yeah.
there are other avenues to see real live naked women if you really want to, without getting arrested. There was a dispute between a maid cafe and a curry shop in Akihabara. This is maybe the most Japanese story I've ever done in the entirety of Ninja News Japan history. They did a collaboration. So you have a maid cafe, and they're going to say, like, we're going to basically loan out our maids to this curry shop, and they will do stuff in the curry shop, and it'll like increase the people who go to the curry shop are going to see the maids and like, hey, these maids are fun. Let's go to the maid cafe. People go to the maid cafe, be like, hey, you can get curry from this curry shop. You know, win-win. Not necessarily. There's always problems in paradise. The maid cafe is saying that the dispatch fees have not been paid. So they are supposed to pay a certain amount of money to dispatch a maid to the curry place. The cafe claims it is owed 250,000 yen. Now, the reason the conflict here is because it seems like the maid cafes were refusing to do some of the tasks that the curry restaurant was asking them to do. These include soliciting customers. So you have to stand outside and say, like, come on in, come have some delicious curry with a cute maid, blah, blah, blah. Preparing salad and not doing dishes. So the maids refused to solicit customers. The maids refused to wash the dishes. The maids refused to prepare the salad. And the curry place is saying, this is all part of working at a curry place. You gotta do all these things if you actually want to work here. And the maids are saying this wasn't in the contract we made when we did this collaboration, therefore we're not going to do it. So right now, with the information I have, I'm on the maid's side. If it's not in the contract, you shouldn't be asking them to do it. They don't have to do it. But the curry house is saying they're going to sue the maid cafe. So this is an interesting thing because if this is all based on contractual stuff, it's going to be pretty clear cut when the contract comes out. But I bet the problem is the contract isn't that airtight. It said like work at or service or help or assist, and it wasn't specific in the roles. So the maid cafe probably told their staff one thing, and then when they got to the curry house, they were told a different thing, and now it's problematic. But is this going to start a war? This is just the only thing. I want to see a maid war in the middle of Akihabara. So a man in Hokkaido. It's Hokkaido. It's a safe place, you know. All our bear stories are from Hokkaido, but, you know, don't worry about that. He goes out. It's like 6:30. Goes out. He doesn't lock his door. Small town, Hokkaido, whatever. You know, cool. It's peaceful. Later, a woman enters his house, and a neighbor calls the police and says, like, I think there's someone in my friend's house or my neighbor's house who isn't supposed to be there. Can you go check it out? Police show up, and they're like, hey, are you supposed to be here? And the lady goes, yeah. And then the guy comes back. He's like, I don't know this lady, so please get her out of my house. She was arrested. And when she was arrested, they asked her, you know, why did you go into that guy's house? She said, I was told to enter the house by my spouse, by telepathy. So I did. I don't know how you argue that. Telepathy is one of those weird things. Like, if you're hearing something, is it because I'm crazy or is it because I'm actually receiving a message? You're going to believe you're not crazy, so you're actually receiving a message. So I just really enjoyed that little... That as a defense was a very interesting thing, because it can be very hard to prove one way or the other. Cops in Shimane,